Good evening. Glad to be with you all again this evening. Glad to have some visitors with us. Always pleased to see that we have people who will come and see us, even if it is me preaching. Want to share a lesson with you tonight from something that's been on my mind for a while, something that's been kind of irking me a little bit, and maybe in a way that it shouldn't, but I decided that I ought not complain about it, and I ought to do a lesson on it instead. In the time that I was an engineering student, and in the time that I've briefly worked as an engineer, I've encountered a lot of other engineers who really like to make things complicated. And they like to make it their practice to create the most over-engineered, over-designed, complex solutions to really simple problems. And I've probably been that engineer at some points too, and most of us have probably dealt with people like that in our work, regardless of what we do. And those solutions often don't really have the same effect. They're not as efficient, or they're not as easily accomplished, I think, as the engineer sometimes perceives them to be. And they serve really only to confuse and frustrate people. And I worry to some extent that something similar is happening in the church. I worry that there is a growing trend in Christendom as a whole, but in the Lord's church even, of men, particularly younger preachers, who have taken a similar approach to the Word of God as certain engineers that I've known. They come up with these new ideas or new interpretations of Scripture that are so abstract and overly academic and intellectual that they're really difficult to just understand and really difficult for us to get anything out of. The meaning is lost in what they say. And in 2 Timothy 2 and in verse 14, we read of a similar sort of thing that Paul talks about to Timothy, where he says to remind them of these things, charging them not to strive about words to no profit, to the ruin of the hearers. And there has been this trend in the Lord's church, I think, of lessons being given and presented in a way that are a ruin to the hearers, either because the subject is not of much benefit or because it's presented in such a way that it's difficult to understand. And as the title up here suggests, I would say that some men have become even philosophers in their approach and not preachers of God's Word. And I want to look at a couple of reasons why I think this has happened and some ways we should respond to that and change in our approach to this. And to be clear, it's not something I've really seen here. If anything, I'm the one that has a problem with that, I think. I tend to be very academic in certain things. But all of us who preach and all of us who teach in any capacity should be aware of some of these things, and so we can avoid falling into this pitfall. And so one reason that we see up here, I think this has happened, is the desire to tell of something new. We read about this, if you look in Acts chapter 17, when Paul is there at Athens. It says in verse 18, it says, "Then certain Epicurean and Stoic philosophers encountered him, and some said, 'What does this babbler want to say?' Others said, 'He seems to be a proclaimer of foreign gods, because he preached to them Jesus and the resurrection.' And they took him and brought him to the Areopagus, saying, 'May we know what this new doctrine is of which you speak? For you are bringing some strange things to our ears. Therefore, tell us what we want to know what these things mean.' For all the Athenians and the foreigners who were there spent their time in nothing else but either to tell or to hear some new thing." These people that Paul had encountered were interested in what he was saying, not because it was the truth necessarily, but because it was new, because they hadn't heard it before. I think some teachers and some preachers, in an effort to move away from just being repetitive in our traditional understanding or interpretation of some things, and in a desire to present something different or fresh from the Word of God, they take an interest in new things, in new ways of understanding, and new doctrines, new interpretations. And this isn't, in itself, it's not wrong for us to do that. And I think in some ways it's a good thing to take an interest in thinking in things in new ways. Those things can help us develop deeper understanding or can help us see a truth that's always been there, we just hadn't seen it before. But if new ideas cannot be understood and cannot be applied by those who hear us, then we aren't benefiting those who hear us. We are striving over words without profit. This isn't to say, again, too, that we shouldn't cling or that we should cling to our traditional understanding of things just because it's the old way of understanding. If you look in the beginning of Acts 17, that was the problem with the Thessalonian Jews. They refused to hear this new thing Paul preached to them in exchange for the old ball, the old thing that they'd had. We should be equally cautious of doing that. But we should be wary of wanting new things just for the sake of new things, too, especially as it pertains to our understanding of the Word of God. If there's something new that we want to tell, we need to foremost make sure it's consistent and aligns with the Word of God. That's what the Bereans do with this new thing Paul preached to them. It says in verse 11 of Acts 17 that these were more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica and that they received the Word with all readiness and searched the Scriptures daily to find out whether these things were so. He used the old thing to confirm the truth of the new thing. But we also should make sure that if we're teaching a new thing, that we can teach it in a way that's understandable, that we can teach it in a way that is a benefit to those who hear us. And so one reason this has happened is a desire to tell of new things without being able to properly articulate to people. I think for others, this is a problem that stems from a desire to prove themselves. I think this is particularly maybe an issue among younger preachers who are concerned that their youth is in some way an obstacle to them being taken seriously. In 1 Timothy 4 and in verse 12, Paul tells Timothy, let no one despise your youth. And sometimes that's easier said than done. Sometimes it's difficult and young people struggle to be taken seriously by older Christians for whatever reason. And so in an effort to try and show and prove the knowledge that they have and their understanding, sometimes they take this overly academic, intellectual approach to the Scriptures. Like the engineer that wants to prove his understanding of mechanics comes up with a complex design. These try to prove their understanding of the Word of God by making things hard to understand and sometimes difficult to apply. But seeking to prove our knowledge by making things difficult and philosophical and conceptual doesn't really serve us, and it's the wrong way to approach the preaching of the Word of God. And making those things hard doesn't really show how smart we are. It really just serves to be a ruin to the hearers, makes things difficult for us to get out of the lesson. Instead, we ought to do what Paul says in 2 Timothy 2 and in verse 15, where he says, be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Instead of being diligent to develop these kind of complicated and confusing ideas and understandings of the Scriptures to prove our depth of knowledge to others and seek their approval, we ought instead to be diligent to study and teach the simple truth of the Scripture and take security in knowing that we've taught the Word of God, the truth that God has given us, and we are approved by Him, and not seek the approval or find security in the approval of others. So there's another reason why I think this has become more prevalent in the church. But one more, and I think more concerning reason why it's become prevalent is the desire for preeminence in the church. We read in 3 John in verse 9 that this was a problem for a man named Diotrephes. It says there that John had tried to write to the church, but Diotrephes, who loves to have preeminence among them, did not receive them. In the Greek, preeminence is kind of a word that we throw out once in a while, and it only appears in 3 John. But in the Greek, you know what it means is to be fond of being first or ambitious of distinction is the idea of preeminence. And so what Diotrephes wanted was to be first or distinct among the brethren. And this may not be much of a problem for most men who preach, but I think men who preach in particular are susceptible to it. And I think it is maybe more common than we think it is, that there are those who desire the sort of preeminence, this distinction among brethren within the church. And one of the ways that they do that is by developing these very academic, intellectual lessons and ways of thinking in an effort to distinguish themselves among the brethren. They want to show that their perspective is unique or distinct from those around them. But we who preach, again, preachers especially, I think, need to be cognizant of the fact that when we preach, we don't preach for our own glory. We don't preach for the praise of others. We preach because it's what the Lord has commanded us to do. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus speaks in various different passages in chapter 6. And he talks about the dangers of doing things to be seen of men, really is the idea. In chapter 6 and in verse 1, he says, "Take heed that you do not do your charitable deeds before men to be seen by them, otherwise you have no reward from your Father in heaven. Therefore, when you do charitable deeds, do not sound a trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory from men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward." And if you go down to verse 5, he says something similar with the idea of praying. You don't pray to be seen of men. And if you go to verse 16, you don't fast on the street corner, and you don't disfigure your face so that others know that you're fasting. Right? Those were things that people were supposed to do because they were right. That's what they were expected to do. And they shouldn't be doing it because they wanted the praise of men or others to think highly of them. And we need to keep those sort of things in mind, too. We shouldn't try to use preaching and being philosophical in our preaching as a means to earn the respect and admiration of others in the church. We should preach because the Lord has commanded us to preach the word, to go out and to make disciples of the nations. And when we do preach, we should give God the glory, and we should preach those things which are going to further the kingdom and strengthen the brethren, not the things that give us distinction among them. And there are probably many other reasons why this has become a problem in the church. And I don't know. I mean, I'm not plugged into the church across the U.S. or across the world by any means, but in my observations, it seems to be a prevalent thing, or a growingly prevalent thing in the church. But in all things, whether we have this problem or not, we as preachers and teachers need to remember what our purpose is as preachers and teachers of God's Word. It isn't to throw out the old ways of thinking in favor of what's new just because what's new is neat or unique and sounds intelligent. It isn't to simply prove how great our own understanding is so that other people will listen to us. It isn't that we might seek influence or renown or glory for ourselves as preachers. It isn't simply to make things complicated and difficult to understand when we preach. It isn't to become philosophers, striving over words and hyper-niche topics that are of no benefit. Our job is simply to teach the Word of God in all its simplicity. If you go to 1 Corinthians, and I don't have this up here because I ran out of room, but if you go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, and in verse 17, Paul says, "For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with words of wisdom, lest the cross of Christ should be made of no effect." And if you go down to chapter 2 in the first 5 verses, he says, "And I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come with excellence of speech or of wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I was with you in weakness and fear and in much trembling, and my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." As preachers, as teachers, the gospel doesn't need to be extraordinarily eloquent when we preach it. We don't need to have extraordinarily complex ideas. We just need to preach the simplicity of the gospel, which is Christ crucified. That's what Paul says in verse 23 of chapter 1 here. We preach Christ crucified. And that's a very simple message, brother. The idea that the love of God was made manifest in the Christ, His Son, who came to this world and died that we might have forgiveness and eternal life through Him. That what we need to do in order to have that forgiveness and eternal life is to believe in the Lord, to repent of our sins and confess the name of Christ, that He is the Son of God, to be baptized with Him and to walk in newness of life. We preach the ways in which we can better walk in that life, to walk the life of a Christian, and the ways in which we can be better servants in the kingdom and imitators of Christ. And all of these things are so simple. They really are, brethren. And sometimes I think we make it more complicated than it needs to be. And there are certainly difficult things. There are hard concepts to understand. 2 Peter 3 and in verse 16, Peter acknowledges that fact that in Paul's writings there are things hard to understand. And those things, sometimes we have to take a more academic or more intellectual approach to understand them and then be able to teach them. And sometimes we have to do lessons on things like that. We have to talk about transubstantiation and imputed righteousness and those sort of things. But we need to remember that when we teach those things, that the people we are teaching to need to be able to take something away from it. That they need something practical, that they need something applicable from the lesson. They need to be able to meditate on it and use it in their daily life to develop their faith. You know, in Romans 10, verse 17, we're familiar with the verse that it says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Well, if we want to help one another develop faith, and faith comes from hearing and hearing the word of God, whenever we preach the word of God, we need to make sure that it's heard and understood. That when people hear what we have to say from it, that they are benefited by it. We need to preach things that are going to grow people's faith. Teach them in ways that are simple, practical, applicable. We need to be able to teach things that are not a ruin to the hearers, but a benefit to them. We ought to be preachers and not philosophers. I appreciate your attention this evening. Hopefully I didn't ramble too much about what is kind of a pet peeve maybe of mine. If you're here this evening and you have any need, if you have a need to be obedient to the gospel, we encourage you to consider what it is you need to do in order to do that, that you would make your life right with God while you have the opportunity. If you have need of other kinds, if you're struggling with anything, if you're struggling especially with a spiritual thing and you need prayers, you need help, whatever it is, please tell one of us. We will talk with you. We will pray with you. We will do what we can. Whatever your need is, we encourage you to consider these things while we stand and sing. Thank you.